once again for Fools on the Hill with Nicole Bell on the Nicole
Sandler Show. All right, we call it our Fools on the Hill segment. For some reason, we couldn't hear that very loud. Anyway, Nicole Bell of Crooks and Liars joins us now for our Fools on the Hill segment. Hey, Nicole, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Nicole?
I'm good. Thank you so much for... Oh, I see why. I turned up the wrong thing. Duh. anyway, thank you for joining us at a different time today. But still, it's important to... look back and see some of the things that went on yesterday. I guess the big news was we saw, if you could turn on the phone news channel, the one and only debate probably between Rand Paul and is it Jack Conway in Kentucky?
It is Jack Conway. Yeah, the Rand Paul's handlers have been very careful about giving him national exposure because, frankly, he just did such a terrible job at early on when he got the Republican nomination. So they needed to be really careful. They just don't want people to know how extreme he is. But he and Jack Conway appeared on Fox News Sunday ostensibly for a debate. And, you know, I think Rand showed that he's still not quite ready for prime time.
Okay, well, here's one clip from it where they talked about Social Security. And we know Rand Paul has before come out and says, I think he said that he thinks Social Security and even Medicare should basically be abolished. He sort of stepped back a little bit on that. I think the first up was Jack Conway, though. This is from a Faux News Sunday yesterday.
All right, let me ask you both, because everybody likes to say, well, we got to get the spending down, but then people don't want to talk specifically about what they want to do. No question, if you want to get serious, and I'm directing this to both of you, about the national debt, you have to do something about entitlements. I want to give you both a chance before the election. Tell me of a single benefit you would reduce, any eligibility you would change, a tax you would increase on either Social Security or Medicare to deal with the entitlement crisis.
Well, let me... I'm the one that's been more specific in this particular area in this campaign. Dr. Paul talks a lot about having a federal budget balance all the way next year. He's just not going to tell anybody how he's going to do it this year. To do what he wants to do would be a 40% cut. It would take the average Social Security benefit from about $1,100 down to about $700. If you go to my website at jackconway.org, I've been specific. I think we need Medicare bulk purchasing. I think it was wrong during this health care debate to take pharma out of it. We ought to let Medicare negotiate for lower prices the way we let Medicaid and the VA do that. That would save about $200 billion.
President Obama and the Democrats tried to do it, and the drug companies...
Well, I think they should take it. It would be the first bill I introduce when I go to the United States Senate. Secondly, we need Medicare fraud units in each and every state. There is a lot of fraud in the system, and estimates are there about $100 billion in fraud, but you don't need to be handling out of Washington in a big bureaucracy. What I've done as Attorney General is take on Medicaid fraud, and Medicaid fraud collections are up...
Are you willing to reduce the benefit?
Let me say one more thing I want to do as well. I think we need to end the offshore tax loopholes. $130 billion in those that can be done like that. We need a pay-as-you-go system, and then we also need a bipartisan debt commission to come back with recommendations.
Okay, right. That was
Dr.
Jack
Paul,
Conway.
Anything
now,
specific
Rand
you're willing
Paul.
To say, I will change entitlements this way.
Right. Well, I think you don't do anything to people who are currently receiving Medicare or Social Security, but we do have to admit that we have the baby boom generation getting ready to retire, and we're going to double the amount of retirees. And to put our head in the sand and just say we're going to keep borrowing more money is not going to work. There will have to be changes for the younger generation.
So be specific.
For the younger generation, there will have to be changes in eligibility. And they've already started talking about this.
So you would raise the retirement age?
There may have to be for younger people, yes. For younger people, longevity is out there. I mean, the average life expectancy in the 30s was 65.
You've also talked about higher deductibles or higher premiums.
Not for those who are currently on Medicare or Social Security.
No, I'm talking about people 55 or younger.
Yes, you're going to have eligibility changes for the younger people. And I think all younger people, if they're honest and will admit to it and have an adult discussion and not demagogue the issue, will admit that younger people will have to have different
rules. Okay,
so that is Rand Paul and Jack Conway from their the probably one and only debate that was on, as someone in the chat room said, Fox Broadcasting. yesterday. So Rand Paul, Nicole Bell of Crooks and Liars, is actually saying, now he's saying, no, we keep Social Security, but we raise the retirement age?
Right, which, you know, is a way to solve the issue. Although I will say that in and of itself, the whole notion that to fix the crippling debt that the country has, we have to go to the seniors and go to Social Security and Medicare and cut there rather than looking at where we can cut in defense or where we can cut anywhere else.
You know what? But let me, two things, and I'll let you finish. But first of all, Social Security is not an entitlement, and man, I hate that word.
I do, too.
We pay into Social Security and Medicare, actually. That comes out of our payroll taxes. We pay into it. Now, the way you make sure it's solvent and can handle as much as it's thrown in at us through Social Security is you raise the right now, I think people only pay into Social Security. They pay FICA taxes up until, I think it's now $106,000 of income. That means anybody earning more than that. Let's take Len Beck, for example. He probably earns that a week. He only pays FICA taxes on that $106,000 paycheck, and after that, he doesn't pay it anymore. They should take away that cap and let the rich pay their fair share.
Absolutely. And that's kind of where I was going to go with it, with Rand Paul's solution. It is a solution, but it's the least effective solution, you know, offered. And it's the one that's going to punish those who need it the most. That seems to be the Republican mode. Let's just go ahead. We'll punish the least among us. We'll make them suffer, and we'll do the least effective way possible to handle this problem. I mean, because he could say, let's just raise the cap. We just take the cap away completely.
Take it away. Or as Al Franken used to promote before he became a senator, put in a donut hole. We don't like the Medicare donut hole, but put in a FICA donut hole where, okay, you don't pay from $106,000 up to $250,000. And then anything above $250,000, you pay in forever. You pay on the rest of it.
Sure. Or, you know what you could do, and this is such a radical notion, you could stop taking out money from Social Security, which is a trust fund. We could stop paying for all this other government spending out of Social Security, and I promise you, the solvency issue is gone. And that's the thing that nobody ever discusses either. You know, let's stop paying for wars in foreign countries that we can't win with Social Security. Then there's no issue about how
no issue at all.
Okay.
But they still should take off that cap because the very wealthy should continue paying. If someone who earns under $106,000 a year has to pay FICA taxes on all of their income, then make everybody pay it on all of their income. It's just it's a regressive tax. It doesn't hit everybody equally.
Absolutely.
And it's just not fair. Nicole Bell is with us. We got to take a break here. We'll come back though. And you know what? Let me play one more clip before we go. This is from Chris Matthews' show, speaking with Dan Rather. Dan Rather talking about the fact there are no more news gatekeepers. Here's the clip.
No more gatekeepers.
Very few. And Mr. Gates could have placed in it, emphasized that this system, the new reality, is open to manipulation. It used to be in the old media world that a Richard Nixon operation or some Democratic operation could say, we're going to turn our phone banks loose on Chris Matthews. You don't like saying, can we get our phone banks foremost phone calls, or we're going to write a lot of letters to the editor and get in the newspaper. The so-called new and more democratic system can be manipulated by people who say, or are cynical and say, we're going to manipulate the system, we're going to get this started, and we'll force the bigger newspapers and cable outlets to pick up on the story. So people need to be very aware of that.
All right, Nicole Bell of Crooks and Liars is with me. We'll weigh in on that comment by Dan Rather when we return. Nicole in for Tom Hartman today. With Nicole Bell. We'll be right back. All right, it is Nicole Sandler back with you after a great call from Jesse Jackson out of the blue. That was a nice surprise. But now, back to...
It's time once again for Fools on the Hill with Nicole Bell on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Well, it's actually on the Tom Hartman Show, but it's a segment we do every week. Nicole Bell of Crooks and Liars joins me each Monday morning to sort of disassemble, if you will, the Sunday morning talking head shows. So, Nicole, sorry to bump you there for a segment, but Jesse Jackson called.
Yeah, you know, I understand, actually. It's okay to pump me for Jesse Jackson.
Okay, good. I figured you wouldn't mind. All right, so we've got a few minutes here. Let's talk about before the break when Jesse Jackson called in. I played a little clip from Chris Matthews' Sunday talk show, The Chris Matthews Show, in which Dan Rather was a guest, and he talked about the fact there are no more news gatekeepers.
Right. Basically, the whole gist of the segment was talking about the influence of new media, and I'll use air quotes for that, the influence of new media on politics. And for Chris Matthews and for John Harris of the Politico, that begins and ends with Drudge. But what Dan Rather wanted to do was just inject a little note of sanity into this, which is saying that, you know, without those gatekeepers, that it can get very dangerous out there. And Dan Rather knows better than anybody the damage that can happen from that.
You're absolutely right. And, but let me give the other side of that. I agree that without those gatekeepers, it can get dangerous out there. But right now, thank God we have the ability to go on the Internet and post a story, as you do at crooksandliars.com, or to do a radio show, as I do at radioornot.com, because without that freedom, our voices wouldn't be heard. And we know that the mainstream media, and I'm doing the air quotes now, is pretty much controlled by the right. You've got major big corporations controlling the three major networks. I'll put Faux in there, make it the four networks. And if we didn't have the freedom to go online and write or broadcast or do what we're doing, our voices wouldn't be heard at all.
That's true. And what's ironic is that what Drudge really did, because Drudge came into prominence during the Lewinsky scandal in the Clinton administration, was, you know, people had heard rumors about Monica Lewinsky in Washington, but nobody in the traditional media had run the story yet because they were still vetting it, and they couldn't prove it. They didn't know, you know, and so nobody ran the story. Drudge has no filters like that. So he ran the story. It could have been false. It could have been true. It doesn't matter. I mean, he ran the Vince Foster story. We know that's false, too.
But you actually had the National Enquirer breaking the John Edwards story.
Right.
And that wasn't online. That was traditional print media, if you will.
Sort of. I don't want to legitimize the Enquirer too much. But the thing that happened, what Drudge did was he broke the dam, and essentially traditional media became bloggers. And, you know, and I recognize I'm a little cog in the new media network. So I recognize that there's something kind of ironic about me condemning new media in this way. But, you know, in terms of what I do, I try to get everything right. I'm not out there printing salacious rumors.
And that's the difference.
Right.
And that's the difference.
And Dan Rather shows what can happen when, you know, people who are interested in an agenda rather than the truth can steamroll over news networks. You know, because the Texas Air National Guard story that Dan Rather was working on, it was true.
But there were the powers that be that didn't want you to hear it. You're absolutely right. Nicole Bell of Crooks and Liars is with us. We're doing our weekly Fools on the Hill segment. We usually do it about 11 a.m. Eastern on my show at radioornot.com. Today I'm filling in for Tom Hartman. We got time for one more. And we'll talk. I'm going to play you one more clip. Bernie Sanders was on CBS, whatever they call their Sunday morning show, with Bob Schieffer. And called the Republican Party for what they are, and Bob Schieffer, in a moment of incredulity, challenged him on it. Here, have a listen.
What has happened is the Republicans have said no, no, no. They have waged more filibusters than any time in the history of this country. They have been the party of no and obstructionism. And at some point, what the president has got to understand, they do not want America to succeed. They're into politics. His job is to rally the American people, as he did in Wisconsin, and say, we are going to create the jobs that we desperately need in this country. We are going to take on Wall Street. We are going to save Social Security. We are going to do something about the gap between the very rich and everybody else.
Now, I must interrupt you and say that's a strong statement to say. I mean, yes, the Republicans are against the president's policies, but is it really fair to say they don't want America to succeed?
Yeah. I would say that given the choice between regaining power or obstructing the initiatives that create jobs, that protect the American people. Yes, I think gaining power is their major initiative. I'm on the floor of the Senate, Bob, and I got to tell you, every single day it's 60 votes to pass legislation. That is unprecedented in American history.
You know, Bernie Sanders tells it like it is. He's on with Tom every Friday for an hour taking listener phone calls. And he's one of the few really honest voices there. And what was Bob Schieffer's problem there, Nicole?
Well, Bob Schieffer is, you know, sympathetic to the Republicans. I mean, in his private life, I think he plays golf with the Bush family. So he is sympathetic. And it is hard for people like that to hear that the issue is being powerful, not, you know, being not fulfilling the Republican agenda, because it's easy to rationalize that, saying, well, they're just being Republicans, oh, they're just being the opposition party. No. They are trying to shut down the country. They want the country to fail, because if the country fails, then they can point to the Democratic majorities, then they can point to the president and say, these guys can't do anything for you. They can't help you. And that's how they get it back into office, because you know it's not their policies that are going to get them back into office. If we went with their policies, we're going to be right back where we started again in 2009.
Let me just point out all the more reason why we need the internet as our safety net, because we do not have any access to the mainstream airwaves to challenge the Bob Schieffers of the world. And just a quick aside, that's why net neutrality is so important. And Tim Carr of FreePress.net is going to be on my show again on Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern, talking about the latest in the fight for net neutrality, which I really think is one of the most important issues facing us today.
I absolutely agree.
Okay, one more thing I want to get to with you, Nicole Bell, before we leave for today, is ABC This Week with Christiane Amanpour, who I haven't been that impressed with her show since she took over, except I thought this show she did yesterday was a roundtable, and the subject was, should Americans fear Islam? I thought it was really interesting.
It was interesting, and I will admit that when I got the advance notice, because, you know, I get information from the networks on what they're going to show on Sunday ahead of time, when I saw the framing of should America fear Islam, it just riled me up, because the framing is just so wrong. But it was actually a very moderated, very educational segment on her show, and I'm glad they did it, because you could really see, you know, people, Muslims who are sitting there and saying, this is who I am, this is what I believe, I'm not advocating these radical jihadists, and yet I get discriminated against because of my faith. So it was actually a very nice program. It was unfortunate that it was framed in the way that it was.
You're right. But it was titillating, which is what they do to get people to tune in. But I'll tell you why I thought it was well done, because it was obviously taped, and they didn't let people filibuster. And she would go back and forth. When one person on one side started running off at the mouth, I can tell when something's edited. They edited it and went to somebody on the other side to sort of bring balance. And I thought it was well done.
Yes, it was. It was very well done. I thought it was interesting, though, that the people on the pro-Islam side were all female, and the people on the anti-Islam side were all male.
I thought that
was a weird kind of dichotomy there.
And one of the guests, and I think, you know, one of the most articulate ones was, and I'm forgetting her name right now, but the wife of Imam Raul, who is trying to build the Islamic Center down near, you know, two blocks away from the World Trade Center.
Right, Daisy Khan.
Daisy Khan, thank you very much. Anyway, that whole show is online, and it is definitely worth watching, even if it's framed poorly.
Yes, absolutely. I hope that everyone actually takes the time to watch the program, because, you know, I came in just really angry about the way they were going, thinking, oh, this is going to be a hatchet job. They've got Billy Graham's son sitting in on the panel. This can't be good.
Horrible.
And the truth of the matter was, it was a very, very good program. And I think hopefully if you approach it with an open mind, you may start questioning some of your, you know, knee-jerk reactions to the Park 51 community center and kind of questioning what it is exactly that we're supposed to be fearing.
Exactly. Nicole Bell of crooksandliars.com. Again, she joins me every Monday morning to deconstruct the Sunday talk shows in a segment we call Fools on the Hill. Nicole Bell of crooksandliars.com. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Nicole.
I'll talk to you next week.
All right.
All right. I am Nicole Sandler of RadioOrNot.com.